Hello and welcome to the Data Development Podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. In this show, I'll be chatting to data experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes, and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify, or you can join us on Slack. Thank you and enjoy the show. We've got Hayley Silk here. She is the Business Intelligence Manager at Virgin Atlantic Airlines. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show, Hayley.
Thanks for having me, yes.
And as we were just talking about, the newly Hayley Silk as well. It used to be Hayley Print, now Hayley Silk. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's been 3 weeks and it's amazing. It feels like everything's changed and nothing at all. But it's good. It's very good.
Interested. Yeah, so it's an interesting observation, actually. And I was also curious to hear about the sort of wedding planning before we got started, because obviously as a business intelligence manager, I imagine everything to be in pivot tables with regards to planning. But you actually mentioned it wasn't at all, which was the biggest surprise of the day so far, I suppose. Not living up to the stereotype.
Yeah, I didn't put anything in pivot tables, but my husband Alex did. He had, I don't know how many Excel spreadsheets with everything on it. And I was just like, we're such geeks. I mean, so he does econometrics for a media agency here in London. And so between the two of us, we're a bit of a data geek family now.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that makes total sense now. Yeah, you didn't think you'd be out data geeked, but apparently your husband has done it.
Yeah, he did it. He did it for me.
Amazing. Well, congratulations, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I think for context, before we get stuck in the conversation, would you mind just sort of giving the listeners a bit of a brief overview of your sort of background and experiences today?
Yeah, so it's a very unconventional path that's led me to where I am now. I originally studied theology. I lived in Las Vegas for 7.5 years. So I studied theology there and thought that I was going to go down the road of becoming a pastor in the States or a vicar here. And then my first job out of uni, I got recruited by a bank, fell into banking for a period of time. Then I got recruited by a stockbroker and I was in investment management for about 10 years. And it was during that phase that I encountered big data and how to pick up SQL skills to analyze trading activity. And then 3 years ago, I decided to give everything up in the States, move to London and kind of do a do-over and try and figure out what else I liked, and I stayed into data, but I just fell into different businesses. So fashion beginning, and then I went to Starbucks to do some retail analysis for them, and then the restaurant group, and now Virgin. But it's all been very much data-based, very quantitative roles that I've had. So always where I've had to be heavy in maths and statistical with my analysis, which it was not my background prior, you know, in university, but seems to be what I'm good at. And I've just kind of enjoyed the role. The ride of everything. I don't really plan too much far in advance career-wise. I kind of know next steps that I would like to take, but I just kind of see where I'm going and, you know, dig into what I'm working on and make my mark and try and leave whatever company I'm with, make it better. And I mean, now it's building out a BI team that is serving the business more than they did before. So
amazing. The principles, you know, obviously you had such a unique kind of path to get into data. It's interesting, data in general. I tend to find that there really isn't a linear path, and there are quite a few unconventional stories and ways that people end up in data. And maybe that speaks volume for just the general impact that data now has on a business, that it's almost like so many people get exposure and then ultimately think, wow, that's actually something I'd like to kind of do more of. Do you think that that's ultimately like becoming a regular story, is almost the unconventional story is becoming the regular story?
I think it is now, definitely. I mean, I don't think there's any role in most companies where you're not going to be exposed to data and data manipulation in some form. I think, you know, the ability to use Excel and create models in Excel is usually the jumping platform for that. And then ultimately, you find yourself working with bigger data and Excel just doesn't handle it. So you step into SQL or, you know, learning Python and R. So I think it's, yeah, I think it's beginning to become more of a mainstream thing in job roles. And I think when I started, it was, I mean, I worked for a mutual fund company, so I was analyzing trading activity. So, you know, we had trades coming in every second, every millisecond. So the amount of data that we collected was just enormous. And the only way to work around that was with SQL. So that was my introduction to it, which was very stressful. And then I think from there, I kind of realized it was a thing. I actually had no concept of SQL or anything like that before. Yeah. And there's always something to it you just like. So, I mean, I love puzzles and Sudoku is like the favorite thing that I do in my commutes and pastime. But yeah, it's always a puzzle. It's trying to solve something that doesn't make any sense, but you know it should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's almost using the technology as perhaps like an enabler. Like it makes total sense. That's a great angle to come to things from, is to have that kind of high level perception about what problems need to be solving, and then using data as this sort of great enabler. The technical tools as this kind of great enabler. It actually makes total sense as to why that would be kind of a productive route to the role, really.
Yeah, and I do think like the more unconventional way you come into data is sometimes a very big benefit. Because so when I do interviews, I always give people these puzzles, like a maze puzzle, and I just ask them to, I time them and see how quickly they get through the maze. And it's really not how long it takes them, but I've had people turn the maze around, start from the back, just put a diagonal line straight through it to the center. And people's logic and reasoning of how they do things is so different based on their background. So I think with data, that adds a wealth of knowledge. And yeah, you can't really get that from having a standard CV that kind of predicts where you think you should go.
Yeah, well, I think because they're all like very, use data as an example, of course. I think otherwise it's like experience is just, that is a ditto factor that I think is massively underrepresented in today's age. I think that, you know, it's a great time for empowerment. I think people are able to freely move at will much more comfortably without being judged for it. People are now being taken, you know, more seriously at a much younger age than probably ever before. You know, there's loads of like positive things, but I do think that it's almost the downside to that is that I think experience and exposure to different environments is perhaps not now being as recognized. I think it is obviously in place. I'm generalizing, and this is, of course, my opinion. But, you know, I think that, you know, that experience and exposure to different environments is just invaluable still. Experience is still valuable. And I do think that is the kind of negative side, is that people aren't taking that into as much consideration, you know. And I'd really encourage people, to go out, get varied experiences before you start trying to build a startup or, you know, ultimately. I mean, what path you want to go down. You need this under your belt to make smart moves.
You do, and you don't always know what that thing is that you need under your belt, but you know, it's always the hindsight's 20/20. Whenever I look back and I see like the path and the things I've done, I'm like, that always prepared me for whatever my next role was. And so you never know, but you do have to kind of be open. You do have to kind of apply yourself wherever you go. And I know along the way for me, I went back to school and got a degree in finance, and then took more courses on predictive analytics and building out databases. So if you find yourself passionate about something and the new road you want to go down, I think you do have to invest a bit more time and education into refining some of that. But yeah, you never know where you're going to go sometimes. And that's kind of the fun of it. I mean, for me at least, that's what I like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think, like say, again, to reiterate my point, that's invaluable. And, you know, your experiences will, you know, you look back, I do think there is some sense to be made out of how you end up in places, but it's rarely a conscious place to be, you know. And I think that's nice. I think there's too much kind of emphasis put on creating this linear path, and I don't think there's much fun in that.
Yeah, I had someone actually in the office, just, you know, they're going off to be a consultant somewhere, and they kind of were saying, well, in 2 years, you know, I'll make myself partner, and then a few years after that I'll be here, and then I'll go there. And I'm like, just enjoy the ride. Like, be the best that you can be in whatever you do, and the right positions and the right people will be around you anyway. But I was like, don't plan it out too much. There's no fun in that. And there's no room for like just random opportunities, because you never know when luck's going to knock on your door and you just need to open it.
So, talk a little bit about your work well and obviously what the projects you're working on at the minute with Virgin. Clearly always been a place that's promoted innovation. Within what you can tell me, talk to me about some of the kind of excitement that's been building around there. Obviously, you mentioned that the value that the BI team is going to continue to drive moving forward. So yeah, it's obviously within what you can tell me.
Virgin is a great place to work for. I think it's one of those brands people know, they love, and if they've flown with Virgin, it's definitely a different experience than you'd get with another airline. The interesting thing is with Virgin, we're so good at marketing and brand recognition that behind the scenes, they hadn't previously invested the time and thought into the data platform. So that's exciting for me, because coming in, it's looking at how we can build out data better for the business. And so my previous role at the restaurant group was very similar, had never had a database before, no BI, no SQL, nobody actually in the business that really created or managed any reports. Virgin is the opposite. So they've had reports, they've had a bit of a platform, but it's not really been thought of and planned with a strategic view in mind. So they've just kind of built things based on one business request, which has answered a lot of questions for them up to this point. But now it's trying to make sure that we build something to scale so we can start growing and expanding a bit more as the business grows. And so I love to talk about the evolution of data and the ways it comes into the business, the ways it moves through the business, and the technologies that should sit in each of those platforms. And a big part of that data revolution is you always start off with something very descriptive, something very basic. So what did we do this time last week? If we're talking about reporting, what did we do this time last year, our year-over-year sales? And it's stuff you have to have. But if you don't have a very good foundation to give just the basic reporting levels, you can't actually grow from there to get predictive or prescriptive. So at Virgin right now, we're trying to build out a better base layer so we can answer and keep answering the very basic fundamental questions that keep the day-to-day business going. But then so that we have a place we can grow and build out more of an analytical platform for predictive analytics. So we can say what may happen in the future and forecast potential behaviors that we haven't identified before. And so that's what I'm passionate about, is probably actually building out the platform and making sure we have the right place to house the data. Some of that will come with building out the skills within the team, getting the right technologies in, but it's exciting and it's going to be quite a big project. So it'll take a bit of time.
Do we have to get the fundamentals right, you know, before we get too carried away with, all of the appeal and the allure of, you know, AI, the data scientists coming in and doing all these, you know, crazy things. Assuming taking on a project like what you're about to take on, you know, getting the basics and getting the fundamentals right and getting things like stakeholder management in place must be paramount.
Yeah, and I mean, it is that thing. Businesses want to do the very cool, sexy things, which is, you know, data science. They all want to say they have a data scientist on the team, that they're doing machine learning and these super clever algorithms that will all take our jobs and replace us someday. But the biggest thing is you have to have a foundation. And it seems so simple and fundamental to just everything we do in life anyway. But if you're building a house and you don't build the foundation correctly, you're going to have issues. That house is going to cost you more than you realized it would. And it's kind of the same with data. You need to make sure you build out your platform, that you've had thought and reason behind how you're landing your data, how you're aggregating it, how it rolls up into the different ways that it needs to be reported on. And a lot of that you won't know in the beginning until you start sitting with your stakeholders and understanding what questions do they need to answer today, what questions will they probably need to answer in the next few years that maybe we're not ready to answer yet. So that kind of helps you when you're designing and planning the strategy of how you land and house your data. So as it moves through the business, it's going to evolve. It's going to start out as a very descriptive layer of reporting, but it will evolve up into becoming more predictive, prescriptive, and cognitive, which is where then your data science steps in. So you can't jump a layer. You have to start at the bottom and build it right.
When you talk about the evolution of it, do you think those principles will always apply?
I think actually with technology, some of that's changing. But there is still, when it comes to reporting especially, you do need things to be kind of stable. So I know when with data science, they can have data in all kinds of different shapes and forms, land it wherever they want to land it, and they can make sense of it and work with it. When it comes to reporting, we need a solid foundation. We need business rules, business logic documented. We need it built somewhere in the database. We need to be able to have some consistency. But things are changing. I mean, technologies are definitely making things different. We're not having things on-prem anymore. Everything's going up into the cloud. We're having virtual databases. Databricks is taking a lot of different ways to process and load data. I know within my team, we use SQL a lot. Python and R are coming in, which are game changers in the way that we handle different types of data, how we push it together and make it, more of one data set for a report. But I think the fundamentals of having a good foundation and understanding of what you want to do today and into the future kind of future-proofs problems that you could have with the data. So where people kind of go rogue and do their own thing, you kind of want to get a hold on that.
So for you, obviously you kind of mentioned it as well, the amount of stakeholder management that's been put in place. A couple of things really to ask. What have been some of the lot bigger surprises as you kind of progressed and worked your way through your career with like the kind of what's expected on a day-to-day basis? And what surprised you either way? And what aspects have you enjoyed that perhaps you would never necessarily imagine that you now do?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've had any major surprises. I'm very much a people person. So I enjoy getting to know people. I enjoy it helps me understand the business and it helps me with context. So for me, saying, let's go grab a coffee or let's take a walk, those are things I would probably want to do anyway. But when I get to do it with stakeholders, it just kind of gives me more of an intimate look into their day-to-day context around what their team's focus is. And then, it enables me to understand and create a better way of working for them and for me and the team so we can move the business forward. I mean, I think whoever you're talking to within a business, like the number one goal should always be to push the business forward, make it better. Whatever you're working on, the delivery is that you're here to serve the company. And I want to do that to the best of my ability. I hope my stakeholders do too. And so I usually find that, I'm passionate about what I talk about. I want to do things right, and I want to do it for the stakeholders, and I want to do it for the company. So, I mean, I don't think I've had surprises. I probably enjoyed that more than I anticipated. It also frustrates me more than I would think, but, that goes with the territory. I mean, sometimes it's messy, and that's just the way it is, but it really is just a conversation. And it's just always talking and trying to figure out how you can improve things and make it better.
Obviously, the people and process side of things as well, they can be kind of innovated quite significantly as well. So obviously trying to perfect that management level of those sort of things, probably an area where I would imagine a lot of people like really don't take that much time to consider it. But I wonder whether within data, it's something that I kind of is becoming necessary. Yeah. We've had, several kind of CDOs, which seems to be in an emerging role on the show, and all of them quote the importance of building a culture that's ready for a data team rather than, kind of fitting in a data team elsewhere, which to me would kind of make sense to how you could elevate the importance almost of having, a great kind of internal communication process.
Yeah, I mean, culture is critical. So, I mean, if it's a culture that just wants to be hand-fed reports and insight when they ask for it, you're going to struggle with creating, you know, changing that culture into being more go get it yourself, figure out what it looks like, interrogate it. But to do that too, I mean, I say that, but in you need a culture or you need a company that's willing to build more of a self-serve platform for their consumers of data. And with that, you have to train them somewhat and get them a bit more data savvy. So, yeah, it's an interesting place to be because everywhere I've been, they're like, yes, we're ready for the data. We all want to ingest it. We all know we need it. But there has been no basic skills or even like platform for them to be able to access it and dig into it themselves. So there's a twofold issue there. And so some of that does, again, it comes with talking to your stakeholders and planning out your foundation. So if the business is going to be a data culture where they all kind of want to, you know, dig in and ingest it themselves, then you've got to figure out what self-serve platform will allow them to do that and who's going to maintain it, how it's going to be updated. And then that comes with its own issues as well. But I mean, with that, there's a huge benefit. You're serving such a broader base of the business and getting more data out to them instead of being a team that just constantly churns, you know, reports or requests based on the immediate need today.
So, the projects that you're working on now, obviously within Virgin, you know, we talked about, I suppose, the opportunity to come in and take on such a great project like this. What's the general consensus for, I suppose, the culture? Is that something that has also been exciting because that's kind of been able to be developed relatively newly as well? You mentioned the continued importance of the BI team, how that's only going to increase over time. So does that mean that the kind of the culture has come along with that?
I think so. Virgin has a great culture, and I mean it's a very sexy culture. It's very risky. We're going to push the bounds. We're going to make you laugh, make you cry. You know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you have the best experience ever, whether you're a customer flying with us or whether, honestly, you're coming into the office and doing your job. We're going to make sure you have the best time. With data, we're a little bit behind in trying to catch up to that, to the brand. We have some great reports that we send out to the business that, I mean, I think are very sexy, very cool. But there's a few of them. That's not our... It's not the majority of their suite, the reports in the suite. So there is some catching up to do with data and insights. We will get there. And I think it is kind of bringing in the right people and skill set, honestly, to just start pushing things forward and making it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And your involvement as well in, you know, the onboarding and the recruitment, you know, obviously, like you say, it's obviously important that we have people, you know, in the business that can technically do the job. But from your perspective, what would you say some of the more important traits are and characteristics to be successful, say, for instance, in your team?
I mean, there's always the technical skills that you need just on your CV. So you need, you know, SQL, Python, R, database management, if you have it, would be amazing. Understanding of data governance. But then, you know, when you go into interviews and I'm sitting across and I'm doing the interview with someone, those things are great, and I'd love to hear how technically successful people have been in previous roles. But then I always throw out silly questions like, you know, if you were a bag of potato chips, what would you be? What flavor would you be? Or if you were sweet, what sweet would you be? Because for me, I just need to see that people can be silly, that they do kind of, that you can take a random question and answer it. You don't get kind of tongue-tied, and that you have a good time. We have someone actually at Virgin, one of their standard interview questions is, when was the last time you laughed? And they had a candidate a while back who said, oh, I don't know, it's been months. Yeah, and it's, wow. So, I mean, with Virgin, it's, I mean, we have slogans all over the office. I mean, Richard Branson was a trailblazer. He was a maverick, and he was quite cheeky, and that's kind of how we like to see ourselves at Virgin. You know, we're honest, we're cheeky, we're going to have a good time, we're going to do the best that we can, and we're going to change an industry. And to do that, you know, you've got to have a certain go-get attitude. You've got to be, you know, I hate to say self-starter, but you've got to be motivated. You've got to just be inquisitive and want to figure things out and have a good time doing it.
Is his kind of, you know, sort of famous figure for being this kind of, I suppose, you know, eccentric billionaire, I suppose. But, you know, obviously his business principles are pretty sound, like him or loathe him, I suppose. But is it quite apparent, you know, his presence in the way that the kind of the company's built internally? Is it, you know, quite obvious that, you know, a lot of his personality has been able to, his legacy, I suppose, has been able to remain within the company and the kind of the values? Is that quite obvious?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very obvious. I mean, and you know, we have obviously have pictures of Richard around the office, and you know, cartoons and news clippings of everything that's happened through the years since Virgin became, you know, Virgin. But it is kind of the core principles are always just honesty, integrity, do the best that you can do, and have fun while you're doing it. You know, we're all passionate about being at Virgin too. So it is one of those brands where everybody kind of wants to. They really enjoy working for the brand. It's not a brand that has a bad reputation to it. And, you know, we get great benefits. We work for an airline. We get free flights. We get treated really well in the office. We've got our own little coffee and barista stations around. But it is, I mean, I think Richard, I think if you see him in interviews, he's always having a good time. He's laughing. And you know, when it comes to business, he's very serious. He's very honest. He's very upfront on what he's trying to do and how he's going to get there. And those are the principles that, you know, underpin much of Virgin today.
Exciting. So people, interested as per usual on the show, we always do this. But you know, people interested in looking at, you know, joining such an amazing experience and environment like Virgin, and particularly within a team similar to yours, where can people go to kind of check out and learn more and see if they feel like they're a fit for an environment like that?
Yeah, so we post jobs on LinkedIn, and then we have a Virgin, if you go to the Virgin Atlantic Airlines website, we have career opportunities there. And so you can see there. We are located out in Crawley, so it's a bit of a commute. So you go out to Gatwick Airport, but it's worth it. I mean, I know people think that going into London is the sexy thing, but I have to tell you, that is so wrong. The best thing you could do is move out of London for a little bit. Come to Virgin. It's such a big industry. We have such complex data, too, that if data is really what motivates you, Virgin Atlantic is definitely the place to come and sink your teeth in and figure it out.
Sounds good. You might convince me at this point.
Yeah, come join us. You know what we say? Sky's the limit. You never know what you can do at Virgin. Sky's the limit.
I agree. I know, just sharpen up my Python and R skills for. Hayley, you've been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for the time. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturers Voice Slack group. See you next time.